Well, greetings, brethren. Welcome to another Line Upon Line Bible study, where together we will be studying the scripture line upon line. And tonight, God willing, we're going to cover Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to cover Joshua chapter 14. I'll open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the study for tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord, and thank you so much for watching over us, for teaching us and guiding us. And we thank you, Father, for the technology that enables us to come together from different parts of the world and different backgrounds and all come together and share an understanding of the scriptures so that we can actually be useful to Christ and to you and to help implement your will here on earth as it is in heaven. We praise you, Father, and we just ask your blessing now in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. All right, very good, brethren. You can see that I am on the road, and so I decided I would record this. And I'm just going to go ahead and share my screen. Hopefully this will work. Let's see if this is working. Yes. Okay, so we're covering Joshua chapter 14 this evening, and just pick up the last two verses of chapter 13. These are the countries which Moses did distribute for an inheritance in the plains of Moab on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward. We call that the Transjordan. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses didn't give any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. So that's how Moses divided the land on the Transjordan. And now we're coming to Joshua, dividing the land. What we saw last week was basically God telling Joshua that he's stricken in age. It's still a lot of land to be conquered. But before he dies, he needs to divide the land so that the people, the tribes know what land that they're inheriting. And so we'll begin now the process of Joshua dividing the land. And we're going to follow this process, these divisions, over the next few chapters. But here we begin the first division in chapter 14. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan. So first it was the land of Moab, which Moses gave 2.5 tribes. And now we come to the land of Canaan, which Eleazar, the priest, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. So you've got Joshua, you've got the priest, and then you've got the heads of the tribes all agreeing to this distribution. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. So that's how Joshua was instructed to do this. For Moses had given inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side of Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, except the cities to dwell in their suburbs, for their cattle and for their substance. So that we'll see that later, I think it's around chapter 18 or so, maybe 19. But Levi is taken out. So now we have, so we had 13 tribes. We took 2 out. We took Levi out. And then Joseph's tribe was split into 2. And so just the math works so that it's 12 tribes now, back to 12, even though the Joseph tribe was split in 2. So that's 13, but then Levi doesn't get an inheritance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and that was their base. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, you know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. So before we get into what he said, the fact I just want to call out here is that Caleb is the son of Jephunneh, and Jephunneh was a Kenizzite. So this is very important because Caleb is given the honor of being the first to receive inheritance in the promised land. And the reason he's given that honor was because of his faithfulness in under Moses. But it's important that we see here that he's the son of Jephunneh, who is a Kenizzite. Who are the Kenizzites? If we go to Genesis 15 and verse 18, we see this. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto your seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. So all of these are the peoples, the Canaanite peoples, that need to be displaced. God is taking the land away from these peoples and giving it to the seed of Abraham. And Jephunneh is one of these people. He's a Kenizzite. He's a Gentile. But clearly, he had given himself over to the God of Israel, so much so that his son grows up wholeheartedly committed to the Lord. So this is another case like Rahab, like Ruth, that there has always been a place for Gentiles in the plan of God and within Israel, if they abandon their idolatry, if they abandon their gods, and if they give themselves wholeheartedly to Jehovah. That's baked right into the Torah. So that's not something new that we see accommodation for Gentiles when the Holy Spirit comes to realize this is still part of God's plan, as long as there's wholehearted commitment to Jehovah. And that certainly is in this dispensation until Christ returns. And that's something that we've covered before, and it's actually in my book that I'll be releasing soon. Back to Joshua 14 and verse 7. 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me. Oh, sorry, I just wanted to go back to something he said in verse 6. He said that, you know the thing that Jehovah said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. So, of course, Joshua would know that Moses said they were different from the other spies that went in. And God was committed to them coming into the land and receiving it. So he's reminding, after all of this battle, 40 years of battle, here he's now coming to Joshua to say, it's time now for me to inherit the land. Verse 7, 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And he saw his brethren have to die in the wilderness. But he was like, no, I'm wholeheartedly following God. And he was the son of Jephunneh, who obviously married a Jewess, a woman of the tribe of Judah, so that he's now part of Judah. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. So there's a difference between Caleb and Joshua and the rest. The rest had to die in the wilderness. They were not going to step foot on the land. But Joshua, Moses swore that Caleb and Joshua would inherit the land. Going back here to Numbers 14 and verse 22, this is what God said to Moses. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him. Caleb described it as, I wholly followed the Lord. He had another spirit with him and has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So Moses was told this. This is what Caleb was told. And now Caleb's reminding Joshua. Back to Joshua 14, verse 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years. So he was 40 years in the wilderness, now 45 years. Here he is battling. Even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So now he's 85 years old. Sorry, I said this incorrectly. We can do the math. I'm just a bit tired, so you'll understand the math there. But he's now 85 years old. I just want to remind you of, God has kept him alive these 45 years. He's kept Joshua alive these 45 years. Caleb is now 85 years old. And he, remember last week we saw when God spoke to Joshua that Joshua was stricken with age, that age was not good to Joshua. But if you compare Joshua's body and state, he was stricken with age, to Caleb. Caleb says, I'm 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. So he's saying, I'm ready. I want to take my land. I want my possession now. And I'm fit to take it over. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim, these are giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And so this is amazing as well. So these are very sophisticated people. These are sophisticated cities. We're at the sort of late Bronze Age. So that's how they're able to build all these cities with new technologies. We're coming into the Iron Age, which is even more sophisticated, and it's going to allow them to build real empires. But there are these cities that are very sophisticated, and Israel is driving out the Gentile peoples, the Canaanites, and inheriting these cities that are ready to go, ready to live in, very sophisticated systems and processes and plumbing and everything. They just get to inherit them. But the Anakim are in this city. Not only are they giants in the city, but the cities that are really phenomenal cities, they're fenced, they're walled. And so they're impenetrable. But most of the spies were like, oh, we could never do anything here. Joshua's like, I'm ready to take this land. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said. So even though I'm 85 years old, I'm ready to take possession now. And yep, I'll go in, I'll battle, and I'll take the land. Even 85 years old, he has a different spirit than the rest of the Israelites. Because we're going to see as we go through the various chapters here that there's still a lot of land to be conquered. And it's not Joshua's fault that Joshua's fed up. He's really frustrated with them that they won't go and take the land. They don't want to do this battle. Caleb is saying, I'm ready. Let's go. Tell me what land is mine. I'll go and I'll clear it. Here in Numbers 13:28 about the Anakim, it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Phenomenal, very sophisticated. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And then dropping down to verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come from the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. These are giant peoples. And and the cities are walled. You think it's impossible. But Joshua's like, no, or Caleb, if God is going to give us the land, it's ours to take. Back to Joshua 14. And Joshua blessed him. So Joshua acknowledges, yeah, you're right. It's time for you to have the land. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And so you have these two men, Joshua and Caleb, who were the faithful men who came into the promised land. Caleb is from the tribe of Judah. Joshua is from the tribe of Ephraim. And these become the two dominant tribes. And most likely this is the root of it, that these faithful men had the most influence and sway. And so the Ephraim goes north, Joshua gives Caleb the south. And so the southern kingdom, or will become kingdom, but in the south, Joshua is the most dominant tribe. And in the north, Ephraim is the most dominant tribe. And so later when you hear the prophet speaking and they speak of Ephraim, they're really generally most times speaking of all of the northern kingdom, not just the one tribe. And this is why. Joshua 14 and verse 15. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. So what we see here in chapter 14 is that the first allotment of land in the promised land has been given to Joshua. And so now it's not just about conquering and fighting and clearing out the land. Now it's about actually assigning allotments to the children of Israel by tribe, by clans. And within the tribe of Judah, Caleb, and that's going to be the clan of Caleb, is given the first allotment. We're going to move next week, God willing, to how the rest of Judah, how the land is allotted to them, and then we're going to go through the other tribes as well. So that is Joshua chapter 14. Hopefully, God willing, you'll be able to join us on the Sabbath, and this coming Sabbath, we will have Deacon Jan, who will be giving us the main message. As you know, we're going through our campaign. So this Sabbath will be the last in a series of three episodes. And so we'll have the podcast at 1:30, and then around 2:45 is what we've been aiming for, to have the actual service. So God willing, you'll be able to join us both for the podcast as well as the sermon by Deacon Jan, and that'll be at 2:45 Eastern time. The podcast itself will be at 1:30, and we look forward to you joining us then. God bless you, brethren. See you soon.